Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Small Group Fraternity this morning. It's been a great summer for probably most of us, and a good fall, hopefully, already kicking off. I'm excited today to have Jeff Galley with us. Jeff is on the team at Life Church. We're going to hear more about his story as we kind of get things moving along. Jeff is the Life Group / Life Missions team leader and kind of leads not just a campus, but the operation as it goes forward across the campuses. He's got a great team and is kind of the newest in a group of guys that we've had on this call over the past several years who have either led a portion of it or the whole thing. And it's always really good, Jeff, to have someone from your team or the team leader on from Life Church. I was talking to one of our guys earlier this morning about the fact that it's always something new, and it's never, you know, when we have them on the next year, it's not like, well, we're doing the same thing. It's more like, here's where we're going. And what I love about that, you know, really kind of system-wide with you guys at Life Church is just the willingness to continue to try and press kind of the envelope, kind of move things forward, try different things, don't be satisfied with what worked before, but continue to sort of work on the pieces that still need work. And that's encouraging to me. It's great for us to be a part of. So, Jeff, welcome to the call.
Thanks. It's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you on here. And I want to kind of just lead off with, you know, tell us a little bit about how you got connected there at Life Church and then ended up in this role. And take a minute to just kind of bring us up to speed.
Sure. Well, little bit of background. I was a youth pastor for about 10 years for a while in Florida and then Colorado, primarily Colorado, Denver area. And at the end of that time, in about the year 2000, actually Stephen Blandino, started a nonprofit company together called Next Lead. And we spent the next several years doing a number of things focused on developing young leaders. Really had a passion for young leaders that are motivated to grow and even more in particular have a desire to be an influence in our culture and to shape the way things are through the culturally influential channels in our society. And so we worked with schools and churches and universities and just a whole bunch of different ways to focus on that goal. And it was great. And then Stephen actually transitioned out of that and stayed really connected with us, but he moved back into working in a church environment a couple of years before NextLead ended. So he got out right in time because in about 2 years ago, we hit the wall, a little over 2 years ago. Actually, it would be early 07, so 2.5 years ago, we just hit the wall financially. Our major funder, who was a builder, actually in Northwest Arkansas, Randy, and he just it profoundly affected him, the housing industry, which in turn affected us. And long story short, we just had to wind up the carpet and say, well, it's been great, and let's look for the next chapter. So that's what led me to Life Church. I, at that point, was thinking that I would move into the marketplace and feeling and thinking that's where my major contribution would probably live out the best. But got a call from the campus pastor on the Fort Worth campus, and he invited me to lunch and just said, hey, would you consider throwing your name into the hat for a role we have on our team here? And so I spent the next hour convincing him that, number one, I don't want to work for a church, and number two, you don't want me to work for you. I'll probably drive you crazy. All the things that you should do and all the things that you should do in your first interview. And 6 weeks later, I was on the team through a pretty rapid fire set of circumstances. God just made it clear that this is the next step. So landed on the Fort Worth team and was there for about a year and a half as the Life Groups and Life Missions pastor. And things just went really well. Absolutely love this organization. Great place to just innovate And you said it well right from the beginning, Mark. It's just a constant desire to grow and change and be better and yet stay excellent. And I just have loved it. We focused on, influencing culture, connecting with people that don't know Christ, and that's just been so appealing to me as well. So it was a great year and a half, and then earlier this year, we started as an organization asking the question, what should the future look like for the way we help people grow personally and spiritually, and the way we go about doing missions locally and globally. And that led to some changes in the structure on our team here. We have a central team that leads and supports all of the 12 campuses. And so there was just the need to kind of do a little bit of redesigning of the way the teams are built to serve where we want to go. And that's what led to, a lot of you guys know Alan Danielson. He's mm-hmm. a good friend of mine. And that's what led to him saying, you know what, I am passionate and good at doing group stuff, and I want to stay focused on that. But this role kind of broadened to include missions as well, and also a little more of a broader focus in terms of what we do to help people grow and develop than just groups. And so that's what led to Alan's transition, and then that led to me stepping into this.
All right. Well, that's okay. So that brings us up to speed. Now, you know, we've over the last several years have had interaction with Alan Danielson and even mm-hmm. John Davis before that about things that were going on, and we had a missions guy on, I think, about a year and a half ago who mm-hmm. was kind of talking about, you know, here's the direction that we're going. And what I'd love to hear just a little bit of is, you know, we heard a couple years ago, I think, maybe 18 months, here's where the coaching is going. And it was essentially we're going to try the sort of like the self-serve model.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe bring us up to speed on two or three things that you think are, you know, really sort of a new version of what you've done before. Just kind of catch us up with what's going on there. That'd be great.
Okay. Well, I remember that, and I came on the team right as that was happening. The idea of just having resources and people available that group leaders could call upon if they need help in any certain area. And I just don't think it ever really took off. It just didn't really click. And I think that's probably what you're referring to. That was probably two years ago, something like that. Okay. Well, here's what has been happening over the last year and a half. What has really risen to the forefront is the reality that every campus is unique and every environment's unique. And so there's not, for us, there's not a one approach to coaching small group leaders that we can do across the board, which means every campus has landed on their own approach. And I think there's two models that have emerged as the ones that campuses gravitate to, one or the other. And I think there's good and bad of both, and it just kind of depends on the environment where you're at of which one is working well and how well it's led. So you want me to describe those two real quick? Would that help?
Run through that, because that's interesting.
Yeah.
Even you're allowing it to be, I guess, customized to the individual campus. That's interesting.
Yeah, completely. And there's actually more to that story if you guys want to dive into it that'll help you understand where we're headed in the future. But I can go back and tell you over the last year what has worked is the two models are, one is pretty decentralized, and it works like this. If I'm a group leader and I sign on to lead a group, I'm immediately paired up with a coach who meets with me the next weekend, and they spend 20 minutes with me just asking questions and kind of helping me get my bearings about how to get this thing started. And then immediately I start gathering people together and I get a group going based on what I want to accomplish. And the coach is there just to kind of encourage and answer the basic questions. And then twice a year, all the new group leaders are grouped together into groups of four or five that we usually call clusters or a coaching group. And those four or five leaders are the group leaders that have been assigned to one particular coach through the course of several months. And okay. So let's say it's August. I'm a group leader. I sign on. I want to lead a group. I'm assigned to, let's say it's Steven as my coach. He meets with me and we get going. And then about 3 or 4 months later, usually October, November timeframe, Steven will pull together all the group leaders that have been assigned to him. And it's never going to be more than four or five. And we're going to go through a more intentional development process that takes about 6 weeks. And it's based on four conference calls. And in between the conference calls, there's either reading or an e-learning lesson to do. So the point is, throw leaders in, let them get used to leading the group and doing what they are pumped up about, and then do the training after they have a little bit of experience, because the training makes sense then. You know, you have a little bit of context for why to talk about these things, and you can bring up the challenges and the good things and process through those. So instead of gathering people together in person, it's typically a conference call, which makes it easy for scheduling and you know, getting everybody together. And they'll just do like a 90-minute conference call once every week or 2 weeks over the course of 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. And they just cover, they'll read in between, do an e-learning, and then the next time they meet in a conference call, essentially they're unpacking it and talking about it.
And is the e-learning, you know, a lot of times what's also fascinating about Life Church, and we probably won't have time today, but the open source idea is very interesting. And, you know, I mean, are the e-learning module approach, is that like a password protected thing, or is that
it's out there. Anybody can log on and watch it anytime from any church, actually. Now, we just took it down, which is going to sound really crazy, but we just took it down last week because it needs to be changed. It doesn't reflect the kind of values that we want people to be embracing moving forward. But those will be changed pretty quick. But when they're up, yeah, they're available for anybody anytime.
Okay, great. Well, that's interesting. I'll have to poke around in there and take a look. So, but that's cool. Now, let me ask you a question about the assignment of a coach to a leader. Is that something that is transient? Like in other words, you get that going, a new leader has a coach when they begin, but is there a point in time where they've made it through the module and they've kind of done the conference call things, and then it becomes less, less intentional and more driven by their need, or does it remain, coach remain?
Yeah, it stays, it becomes more informal. After that 6 or 8 week coaching, intense coaching time or training time, then after that, every coach, this is what I did in Fort Worth. Like I said, every campus takes a little different approach, but this is what was working for us, and what's working for a few of our campuses pretty well, is every coach once a month gets a list of all the groups that they're connected with, and they have to call them. They can't email them, but they don't have to get them on the phone. They just have to call them, leave their group leader voicemail to say, hey, I'm praying for you, and if you need anything, let me know. And it's nothing more than just keeping a connection. And then, you know, the common sense is they're going to run into these people in the hallway. They're going to see them on the campus on the weekend. And they can just touch base there, too, and just keep the relationship going. But so it's really up at that point, it's up to the group leader to just respond. And then if the coach kind of catches wind of a problem, they'll just figure out what to do about it, either deal with it, or if they need to get help on knowing what to do, then they'll do that. And it really reflects our values of being really decentralized, really structured for growth, not control, and just kind of let leaders run and go where they want to go.
Yeah, now I like that phrase, too, structured for growth and not control. That's good. Now, let me ask you one last question on the coaching, you know, you mentioned that it may be different from one campus to the next, and and you said it's working well in several, and here's how. The sizes of the campuses where it's working well, what's the range? Are they, you know, because I know at Life Church you can have some, you know, you can have the you know, what a lot of us would call the main campus, you know, it's big, and then you have among the others, it's varying in size. What size is that model working at?
Right. It's the smaller, it's up to probably 2,500 people is where that's working best. But I don't think that's an issue of the size. I think it's an issue of execution by the leader on that campus. I think that model can work really no matter how large you grow, if it's led well. So
yeah.
I think it would work. Now, the larger campuses kind of have a legacy coaching system that's been hanging around. And by legacy, I just mean it's been here for a while and just kind of hanging on. And I think that'll probably be going away, my guess is, in the next year or so. They have what's called a triad system. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah, we've heard that term, but run back through that real quick and just bring us back.
Well, it's almost different on several campuses, but the fundamental idea is that there's a team of people that are assigned to coach all of one type of group.
Yeah, so, that's right.
So they may do all the groups that some of them are structured on nights of the week. So they may say, we're going to coach all the groups in this night of the week. And the triad word describes the structure of that coaching, of the coaching leadership. One leader is responsible for helping people connect with groups, people that are seeking groups, helping them connect with the group in their area of leadership. One person is responsible for the development of the leaders, and one person is responsible for usually it's the missions component of what they do, the way the groups serve in the community.
Okay.
Or their structure might not be night of the week. It might be, we're going to take all the men's groups, or we're going to take all the women's groups, or the, whatever it is. So that's the basic approach. And that one is just, seems to have proven more cumbersome, and it's a little more of a structure for controlled approach. So I think it just tends to break down.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a really good distinction, and that's a good opportunity to maybe segue into, one of the most fascinating discussions we had was probably 2 years ago when there was a conversation about a direct and intentional switch up in the way missions was happening at Life Church. And instead of being, 80-90% foreign or go somewhere kind of thing, it switched over and gave the life groups a more, immediate role in it, and kind of that became the purpose of a group and all those kind of things. Talk about how that's working now in terms of a life group having a mission and having that as, I guess, a definition of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, where that's worked well is on the campuses that have been led to embrace the reality that serving the community is just what you do. It's just, if you're a follower of Christ, it's what you do. And from my own experience in Fort Worth, that's exactly the way we led the campus. And even before we talked about, the dynamics of how to have a good meeting and what curriculum you're going to use, the first question a coach would always ask a group leader is, what are you going to do to make life better for people in the community?
Mm.
And so just right out of the chute, it was just, that's just what you do. And I've really am committed to the reality that just, thinking outwardly, serving other people, doing things to make life better for people is the best way to grow personally. And it's the thing that God uses, I think, to catalyze personal growth and spiritual growth. So that's why it's not only the best path to growth, it's also it's just what people should do if they're a follower of Christ. So we just assumed that people were going to do that. And that's worked well. On the campuses that have really embraced that value, at least 90% of their groups are involved in some kind of a way to give to the community on their own. And it might be a spin out of a connection they got through the campus, like maybe they were part of a serving event. We call those micro missions.
Yeah.
And then they stayed involved in that area, or maybe it was something they came up with completely on their own or whatever. But they, you know, they just kind of assume that that's a part of being a group.
Right.
So that's going really well.
Let me ask you about that. You said some campuses it's really working, and but not all of them.
Right.
Would that also, is that a reflection of the campus pastor? Is that a reflection of maybe like how long that campus has been around? Or what do you take on that?
I'd say it's both of those things, yeah. It's the, this value has become more, has come to the forefront in the last few years of Life Church. And so the campuses that have been around for longer than that, it just takes longer for those values to find their way all the way through.
Yeah.
But that's the exception, really. The majority of our campuses, that's just the way people think. And
yeah.
And so, it really comes down to, I think, the leadership on the campus. It's not only the campus pastor, it's also the what we currently call our life groups, life missions pastor, which that title's actually about to change. But that role, that's a lot of it too, is how that person leads.
Okay, well that's helpful, and a lot of us have kind of tracked those sorts of things, and mm-hmm. we've had in addition to just the conversation we've had with your team, you guys when you've come on, we've talked with other churches too, that it really does seem the case that group systems that embrace the idea that normal is to have a way to serve, that's normal, that's what
right.
the life of a believer ought to be. They, you know, those are the places around the country, seems to me, that are having not just the greatest impact, but the most life change.
Right, totally. And it's you guys have heard it 100 times that any organization is going to take on the characteristics of the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So if the leader lives that way, if they're investing themselves in people, people are just going to catch it. They're just going to get it. So it really comes down to that factor, I think.
Yeah, it's good. Jeff, one of the things I love to do is get the guys able, kind of turn on the opportunity for them to ask questions. But I also, before we do that, I want you to just sort of step into where things are right now for you guys. Because
mm-hmm.
I know you have some other things that you're working on. In fact, when we talked, like a month and a half ago, you said,
right.
I'd better wait until this date, because maybe by then, some things would be a little bit more clear.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to tell us that, that you wouldn't lose your job over? Like if you told
Oh, no, nothing. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing I'd lose my job over, for sure. That's not a problem. And we love to just kind of lay it out and get feedback. So I'd love for you guys to continue to help me shape this as well. So here's the deal. There's a couple of pretty big shifts in our thinking that really are shaping the future. Here's the deal. For the sake of time, I probably need to just kind of cut to the point, and I can't really unpack it. So you guys can go where you want to go after I lay it out on the table. But, the vision of seeing people grow, the vision of seeing people serve in the community, the stories that we see, what we know is what the behaviors are that we want to lead people to embrace that describe those stories. What we can't do, and we recognize this, is we can't create a program or a path or a strategy to get people to those behaviors. Ultimately, only God can do that. And a metaphor that helps you understand what I'm getting at is I could plant a tree in my front yard, and there's nothing I can do to make that tree grow. Ultimately, only God can do that. But I can kill the tree, or I can hinder its growth by not giving it a good environment, or I can create an environment around it where it's going to do what God made it to do. It's going to grow. And developing people is the same thing. We know what we want them to be. We've actually narrowed it down to 5 specific behaviors, and I can walk through those if you guys want to. But we know that we can't get people to those behaviors. Only God can do that. So our role is to create environments around those people and fill those environments up with really good leaders and then step back and coach the process and let God do what he's going to do and let him bring an internal motivation in the lives of people to want to grow. And then our role is to coach people down that journey instead of saying, here's the path for growth. So what that means on a practical level is we're moving towards creating four specific environments. They're not necessarily different buckets or four different programs, and in some ways they're almost four different views of the same environment. So it's not a program at all. It's very much an environment is the word that best describes it. And the four environments are a group. So if I want to grow, I could choose to be a part of a group or organize a group that has a specific purpose. Second is I could learn something. Maybe I've got a belief I want to shore up or a skill I need to develop or a problem I need to solve. So I could learn something. The third is I could serve, give my time to serving in the community or the global community, or I could be a leader that organizes other people to serve. And then the fourth is I could get some coaching. I could get some coaching just for my own life, my own development, or I can get some functional coaching because I want to be a developer of people. I want to develop people in my life, you know, my own family, my career, but I also want to be a group leader. Or I want to be a missions leader to help organize some of those missions environments. So I need some coaching to know how to do that well. That's what I mean by functional coaching. Mm-hmm. And so the goal then is to create these environments, fill them up with really good leaders, and then inspire people to want to be a follower of Christ and then say, where are you now? What's next for you? And what should you do? You know, which of these environments are going to help you go down the road? And we recognize that not all the environments are going to be the right thing for people at the right time. And that's a really big shift for us. We're not going to say any longer every person needs to be in a life group because everybody doesn't want to be in a life group.
Right.
They may not need to be in a life group. In fact, one thing that really shed a lot of light on this, you guys are probably familiar with this, but the study that Willow Creek just released back earlier in the year, I think, or maybe the end of last year, it was a follow-up to the Reveal study called Follow Me. If you've read that, you remember one of the most important takeaways is that people that are a little further along on their walk with Christ
right.
actually feel a sense of frustration when you try to tell them to get in a life group or a small group.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reason is because they've already built relationships, and they can go and find the relationships that help them grow on their own, whereas a newer follower of Christ, they're just trying to build some social structures. They need to meet people. And so we're just recognizing that not all these are going to appeal to everybody at the same time, and they're also real interrelated.
Right.
You know, I could say, if I'm an attender, I could say, man, I want to work on my marriage. So I could be responding to a learning opportunity. I need to be a better husband. But that learning opportunity may take me into a group that's focused on marriages. And I may be sitting next to somebody in that group that showed up as a group not because they wanted help with their marriage, but just because they wanted to meet some people.
Right.
So that's what I mean by they're not four different buckets.
Yeah.
They're environments that almost look at the environment from different angles. And so that's where we're headed. And what we've done with our campuses is we've created a set of best practices for each of those environments. And we've kind of turned the freedom over to the campuses to say, within these best practices, let's innovate what these environments need to look like. And so that's where we are now.
Okay. Now, I know you guys are chomping at the bit to ask a question, but I have to retain the right to say, go back and tell us the five. You got to tell us the five things you're looking
sure.
for.
Yeah, and here's what we've done. We're not saying that these five things are what the Bible says a follower of Christ should be. We're not saying that these are the things that every church should embrace. We're saying these are the five things that we're wired to do as an organization. These are this is what God has called us to lead people to. And we put a lot of energy into answering this question. Every single person that works for Life Church got to speak into this. And a lot of volunteer leaders got to, you know, put their 2 cents worth in. So it was a really broad conversation, and it's completely, I mean, people are, they get it. It's becoming a part of the DNA, these five behaviors. So what I'm trying to say is these are us. These came from our DNA. I don't think you can take these things and just say, okay, that's it.
Sure.
So with that in mind, here's what they are. The first one is we want to lead people, or we're saying we're winning, we're succeeding when, number one, we lead people to identify their next steps for personal and spiritual growth. So I want to be able to walk onto a campus anytime and somebody tell me, here's where I am, here's where I'm going, and here are my next steps. I mean, that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is we want people to generously serve others. We want them to give their time. We want them to give their money. We want them to give their passions to making life better for people in their community and the global community. Third is we want to build healthy relationships. We want to lead people to have a healthy family, to have relationships that they're investing in, and also relationships that are investing in them. We want them to have good relationships with people that don't know Christ. So that's what we mean by healthy relationships.
Uh-huh.
The fourth one is we want to lead people to read and reflect on the scriptures. And this is the only spiritual discipline that made it on this top five list. All the other spiritual disciplines where we landed was those are a means to an end. Those uh-huh. develop a person to be Christ-centered. But you can't really say you're a follower of Christ if you're not developing a worldview that's informed by the scriptures.
Yes.
And so
yes.
that's what we mean by we want people to be able to read and reflect on the Bible. And then five is to be Christ-centered. And that sounds kind of broad, but what we mean by that is we want to lead people to a place where Christ is the compass for all areas of their life. I mean, we've got tens of thousands of people showing up on the weekend that Christ is the center of 1 hour on Sunday. And so what we're saying is we need to help people go to the point where Christ is the center of their career and their family and their purpose in life and their community involvement. I mean, it's across the board. So that's what we mean by being Christ-centered.
That's great.
So what we're shifting to, one more quick thing, Mark, is these are now what we're going to measure. As opposed to measuring number of groups and number of missions trips and all the other measurables, which we're a very, very performance-driven culture in our organization, we're always going to keep track of those things. But what we're recognizing is that we've got to measure these things because that's what success is.
Right.
We can't assume we're succeeding if we get a certain number of groups going. We're going to keep track of it and we're going to learn from it, but this is what success is.
Yeah, now, but I have to say, listening to those five,
mm-hmm.
it the way that you measure it, or
mm-hmm.
or you know, figuring out a way to measure, like you know, how would you measure number three? You know, what percentage I guess of your congregation is building a healthy relationship or relationships? How does something like that get quantified?
Yeah. That's the million-dollar question. If you guys can help us figure that out, then I'll give you a sloppy kiss on your forehead. But
sure,
yeah,
that's an incentive just for
yeah, right. But the answer is going to be in giving people a way to respond to talk about themselves. Here's where I am. In a number of areas. And so it's probably going to look like a survey combined with interviews.
Right.
Most likely, we're going to put together a process for a good self-evaluation type of a survey for people that the whole church will take, everybody that we can get, and then we're going to create a sample group.
Right.
And we'll track both of those groups over the course of a year. 1 year, and then a year later do the same survey, and we'll see if the sample group is similar to the whole church. And if it is, we'll probably gravitate towards just watching sample groups of people over time. So that's probably where we're going to land. But that's the conversation we're having right now is, okay, we know that's what success is. How the heck are we going to measure it? And we're working on that.
Yeah. Well, boy, there's a lot in this. Okay, you guys, we've got about 20 minutes left here, 18-19. What questions would you have for Jeff that you want to make sure that we get around to? As normal, I've got more, but what are you guys wondering?
We know that Mark always has more, so we'll jump in here. Talk to me about the four environments, the get some coaching. Tell me just a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, well, little bit of context first.
Okay.
We have said this is where we want to go, and we've, like I said, we've kind of turned the freedom to innovate those things all out to 12 different campuses, and there's going to become we're now going to enter into a real learning process of what should this look like. But I can tell you what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to land on having intentional structures to do those two kinds of coaching, life coaching and functional coaching. So life coaching can look like this. It could be somebody saying, man, I would love to sit down with somebody that can help me figure out a plan for my growth. Just help me figure out, you know, how do I get clear on where I am and where I want to go and what should those next steps be? Or you might have somebody that is saying, I really need to have a better understanding of what my purpose in life is. So, how can you help me figure that out? And how can that inform the decisions that I make about my family and my career and all that kind of stuff? So those are examples. Or it could be a marriage situation. It could be, man, my marriage really sucks, and I need somebody to help me walk through what to do. How do I fix this thing? Not a counselor, but somebody just to kind of coach me along and help me figure out what I should do. So that's another example of life coaching. Functional coaching is a little more along the lines of doing the things that we are describing in these environments. All of this is highly volunteer-led. So like all of our local missions, the campus staff doesn't dream up a missions project. Those things always come from a volunteer who's got a passion and an ability to pull something off. So that's an example of functional coaching is, you know, if I'm an attender and I tip my hat and say, man, I'm really passionate about mentoring kids, and I would love to get other people involved in that same cause, well, my job as the pastor on that campus is to coach that person along so that they know how to do a good job of mobilizing other people for that cause. And then, so that's what I mean by functional coaching.
Very good.
So the way, here's what I think is going to happen. Interestingly, Blandino and I are going to a coaching certification together next week with a guy named Terry Walling that has a group called Leader Breakthrough. And I'm going for that purpose, is to spend a few days figuring this stuff out to get some clarity on it. And here's what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to develop some really good training for people that want to be a good coach. And because coaching skills are completely transferable, it doesn't matter what function your coaching is performing, whether it's life coaching or functional coaching or coaching someone on the job or whatever it is, the ability, the how to be a good coach, the skills are completely transferable. So no matter what kind of coaching a person's doing, whether they're a life group coach or anything, they can learn good coaching skills. Then to supplement that, we're going to have to create, I guess the best word I could think of it is coaching journeys that a coach can take people on. So to develop a growth plan, for example, you need a path, you need a journey to take someone down. So maybe it's a book that you both use, you read together, or maybe it's a training you attend and then you coach somebody through executing it. So we're probably going to develop a core methodology for coaching we're going to use across the board, and then we'll develop kind of resources that fuel the journey that people want to coach others down. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of where my head is now.
No, yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Yeah, it would seem that the path that you're on, you know, is exciting, and yet at the same time, there's a lot of, you know, there's some unanswered elements.
One thing I'm
noticing and I'm kind of thinking is I'm wondering how you drive this. You know, I mean, it sounds great, you know, and it really is. I love, you know, for example, the five behaviors that you talked about are, mm-hmm. you know, very kind of, I don't know, they're very much about defining what a win is, you know,
right.
and mm-hmm. what does it look like. Now, this element here with the four bucket idea, I love also, but I'm wondering, how do you drive it? How does it happen in an individual campus, for example?
For us, it's going to happen through the weekend experience.
Okay.
The weekend experience is the driver at Life Church. And we've gone through this navel gazing over the summer, asking ourselves the question, well, if we're so attractional, which we are, I mean, people just flat want to show up on the weekend. It's fun. It's a great experience. It's challenging. It's awesome. And that's what drives the momentum around here. So, you know, how do we be missional? How do we be so outward focused when everything is driven by the weekend? I've been the voice in the mix saying, it doesn't have to be either or. It's both. The reality is God is gathering together all these people every weekend for us.
Right.
The question is not, is that a good idea or a bad idea? The question is, what are we going to do with them when they're here?
Yeah.
And so the answer for us is bringing some reshaping to the weekend experience so that we're casting vision for those values, and woven through the experience is a constant question of where are you and what's next for you. And then if we align all of our communication elements, you know, the talk notes, the lobby experience, our website, YouVersion Live, just all the elements, if we can bring alignment to help people in a really simple and intuitive way, know how to take that next step they're interested in, I think that's where our momentum is going to come from.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
yeah. I love the, you know, that is what it is alignment and driving it through that experience.
Right.
But you also said woven through the experience.
That's got to be it.
That's good. What else, you guys? We got about 10 minutes here left, and what else do you want to make sure you get on the table?
All right. Well, maybe we're done now.
Well, no, but
no.
how do you hope to track people through the process? Because as I look at the four environments, I think it's, I mean, I love the idea. As a matter of fact, I want to figure out how to get this call to some other people on our team.
Mm-hmm.
But going from group to learning something, serving, which, you know, your groups are kind of doing as they're meeting as a group, they're also serving. I see that as a value.
Sure.
How do you hope to track people through the process? Because I'm sure that's a big, hairy question.
Well, I guess my question is, why do we need to track people?
Okay. I think that's valid.
If we believe that our role is to provide the right environments and to coach the process and to let God do what he's going to do, then I'm not too worried about figuring out who's doing what. What I'm worried about is those five behaviors. If over the course of a year we're seeing the right kind of evidence that helps us to believe that people are doing those five things more and more, how they got there, I couldn't care less.
Yeah, see, now what I love about you, Jeff, and I didn't know this until the call today, but I mean, so much of what you're saying rings, you know, to most group guys,
mm-hmm.
The idea that you measure everything, and particularly what you're counting as noses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is such a fluid environment, and it's one that, you know, it just doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads you in a direction, most of the time, it leads you in a direction that's not, it's not profitable. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't do anything. But
well,
trying to figure out a way to drive those behaviors,
right?
You know, that is something, you know, that has meaning. And
yeah, that's, I think that's the golden nugget in the whole thing is how do you – you're not casting vision for groups. You're not casting vision for coaching. You're not casting vision for serving. You're casting vision for those behaviors. And people want to do those things. Why do you think they show up to church in the first place?
Yeah.
They want to do those things. So, you know, that you're not trying to lead them to a group. You're trying to lead them to growth. And so focus on casting vision for that and then measure whether or not you're succeeding at that. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's going to be really difficult. And we're probably going to pull our hair out trying to figure it out, what little hair I have left. But
maybe you'll have to get cut really short like Craig does. That way it'll be harder to get a hold of it.
Yeah, if I had as much hair as Craig, then I would be happy to do that. But I don't even have that much hair. So what little I have left is probably going to be gone. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy, but we know that's where success is found. Now, I also want to add on, Mark, that we're not going to stop keeping track of how many groups we have.
Yeah.
We're not going to stop keeping track of how many people are being coached or all the other things we can measure. We have to keep track of that because that tells us what's working and what's not working. And we will be measured to some degree on how on the numbers in those areas. But that won't be the primary determination of whether or not we're succeeding. Our real focus is the results. And if we're seeing results in the lives of people, it just really doesn't matter how they got there.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I keep wondering too, Jeff, is that you know, I love what you were saying about, you know, the fact that you're seeing one kind of thing, one kind of response, for example, to get into a group, similar to what Follow Me talks about. You know, you're seeing one response there, and you're seeing a different response or a different, you know, motivation. People really who are new in Christ or exploring, you know, that kind of thing, they do need you need that. Where are you getting the leaders from for for the groups that you're launching? This we haven't talked about, and maybe you don't want to go there, but I'm curious.
Totally. That is the primary responsibility of the guy on the campus, the Life Group Life Mission pastor. That's what that person is all about. Their role is to it comes down to two things: perceiving where the campus is and what the priorities need to be and moving that campus towards these environments. And then the second thing is identifying catalytic leaders and enabling them to lead well. And so it's a function of the leader on the campus. That's what they've got to spend their time doing, is identifying who those people are. And some of them surface through the leader tipping their own hat, you know, by saying, hey, I'd like to lead a life group, or I'd like to you know, be a mission catalyst or mission leader or whatever, and then, you know, you respond to those people. But the majority, in my experience, by far, 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 the majority of the best leaders that can be identified are just through your interaction with people. And, you know, if I'm on a campus, that's the way I'm spending, you know, 75% of my time, is just getting to know people, identifying leaders, and then grabbing onto them and saying, hey, you know, how can you play a role in what's going on around here? What are you fired up about, and how can I help you get there?
Are you able to identify enough that way? You know, I mean, do you know what I'm saying? You know, when I was at Fellowship of the Woodlands, for example, you know, I mean, the campus got to a certain size. And, you know, before it was multi-site even, it got to a certain size, and there wasn't a good way of identifying potential leaders until we introduced the idea of a small group connection, which kind of was a technology or strategy that fleshed out leaders who were there, but we didn't know. How are you guys, how's it working in terms of identifying enough?
I would go back to what we started earlier on the call with, it depends on the leader on the campus, and it depends on the campus pastor. You know, I'm thinking of a couple of our campuses now that are just like a leadership machine. It's like there's just people coming out of the woodwork, and there's some that they're always complaining they don't have enough leaders. But it's probably the ability of the campus leadership to kind of set the value for that and to naturally attract effective leaders. And here's another thought, too. Anytime the leadership word is used to only apply to leading in the church environment, I think we lose some of our best leaders. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about developing leaders, we're talking about helping people just lead wherever they are, and we're talking about giving people a platform to do what they already want to do anyway. We're not asking leaders to take a program that we've created and lead it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And there's a big difference. The best leaders respond when they feel like, wow, I get to do what I love to do here.
Yeah.
And if you create an environment where people feel that and sense it, they're going to respond to it. But if the best leaders out there think that you're just going to hand them a book and say, go do this program, I mean, personally, I wouldn't be interested in that.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably a part of it, too.
How are you, how do you, you know, for example, a leader or a potential leader steps up in some conversation, or they just respond to some kind of a, you know, an opportunity. Do you guys have a process that you're using to kind of vet them before you would put them in a situation where they could end up leading a group, or
right. Yeah,
what does that look like?
Yeah, for groups there is a process, and it's that. Remember that first interview or that first interview, that first meeting with a coach.
With the coach
that we talked about.
Okay.
That's what it is. That's one of the things they do actually is. They kind of vet them and yeah. sort out. So that's part of the coach training is how do you figure out if this person has got their head screwed on straight or not. And they do a, you know, they do a background check, and that's required for anybody that we're going to put out there as a group leader. They have to adhere to our doctrine, which is only like 4 or 5 points. And it's the points that every follower of Christ in the world would agree to. So the doctrinal filter is really simple here at Life Church. So that's how we vet group leaders. Now, the leaders for these other areas, that's pretty undeveloped at this point. That's part of what's going to have to be shaped over the next year or so.
Yeah, okay. Well, that, you know, boy, there's a lot in this call. You know, I mean, there are some things that I'm going to go back now and listen to the recording myself, and I know I'm going to want to say, hey, wait a minute. I should have asked that question, or what about this? Jeff, thanks. Thank you very much for spending the time with us today. I know this is a recording that'll get listened to a lot over the next week or so as our other kind of frat members join in and download it. But I love what I hear in the direction. Boy, it just sounds so fun. If you had a campus here in the area, I'd be there. I'm watching at 11 o'clock Pacific right now on Sundays just to kind of see what's going on. It's fascinating to kind of come along with you.
Oh yeah, man! And Church Online, it's just amazing to me what God is doing to Church Online. Just remarkable. yeah, it is.
Well,
and man, anything I do to help kick these ideas around anymore, you guys are welcome to shoot me a call or an email and be glad to process anything more with you. And I equally would really value your feedback. We're really, you know, we've kind of just laid it out on the table to all of our campuses, and we're learning together. And there's a lot of voices, and, you know, I'd love to have your voice helping to speak into the process, too. So any feedback or things that you think we're not thinking about, man, I'd love to hear about that kind of stuff as well.
And I'll be putting that up on the blog spot that we've got for this call. Just watch that. I'll be sending out an email with some contact information and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Well, we're out of time, and Jeff, thank you very much for being on here.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys. It's real great to meet all of you.
That's fantastic. We'll be back in 2 weeks on the 28th, same time, same channel, with Joe Myers, who is working on, as usual, some things that probably will be pretty startling when it comes out in book form. Joe's gracious and will be on talking about what he's doing, and I want to encourage you guys to put that down on your calendar. And then in November, we'll have Carl George back for our kind of annual look at what he's working on and what he's thinking about. You guys, it's been great today. Great having the chance to talk. And, Jeff, thanks again. We'll see you guys soon.
Have a great week, a great couple weeks, and we'll see you in two. Bye-bye now. Okay.